I really do. I would like to say it's my favorite, but I don't have a favorite. They're all really, really good. I can't. There's not a bad one in the batch. They're all good. And here we're in chapter 2. And James is telling us we need to be careful not to be respecters of persons. You know, just because you dress nice, just because you smell good, doesn't mean that you're special to God. You know? Because He cares about the little rat as much as He does the big rat. Amen? He loves people. He loves people right where they're at. He does not care. He is truly no respecter of persons. He's not overwhelmed with your wealth or with your poverty. It does not change who He is. And He allows each and every person to be who they are.
Amen.
And just because you think that, well, I'm blessed because I have all this stuff. Well, maybe you're not. You may not be blessed in that stuff at all. That could be a curse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of, well, Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Because he won't let go of the material world to grab a hold of the real wealth that God's offering. So when we have people come into church,
and they're all like fancy, they got the pinky ring on, that kind of stuff.
Now don't you go talking about
me. You're always up front though, sister. Nobody invited you. You just came on down. It's a beautiful thing. And so, in that, you know, when we see somebody, a senator, a congressman, the mayor, somebody that we think is of importance, and we say, well, come here. We need to treat you with this grandiose attitude.
Mm.
God doesn't look at that.
No.
He doesn't care how much physical stuff you have. He doesn't care about your stature, high, tall, short, what we consider mentally capable or mentally not as capable. God does not care about that. He cares about who you really are, not
Amen.
The things on the outside. But often in the body of Christ, we get caught up in what we see. You know, we see things that are certain. Well, this person looks real nice, or this person smells real good, or this person drove up in a Porsche, or they drove up in a Lamborghini, or whatever. It's never happened here, but well, the Porsche did. The Porsche did. But we're not supposed to treat them any different than the fellow who came in pushing a bicycle.
Amen.
Hadn't took a bath for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and that person may be more talking about you, brother. It's Wednesday. We both took baths today, right? what the scripture says, what James is saying, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, which with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring or goodly apparel, and there also come a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, set thou here in the good place, and say to the poor man, set thou there, or set here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and the heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which ye were called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced, another word for that is convicted, you're convinced, you're convicted of the law as a transgressor. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. He talks about do not murder, don't adultery, and all that kind of stuff. But looking back at what he is just talking about, what we've been talking about, we need to love people the way that Jesus loves folks.
Amen.
He's not concerned about anything on the exterior. Mm-hmm. The only thing God is really concerned about is what's on the inside of a man, whether he's born again or not. And what James says here, the rich folks, aren't the rich people that take you to court? Aren't the rich people the ones that sue you because you bumped into their car? Aren't they the ones that drag you out? Bill Gates, you know, wouldn't he throw you in jail because you didn't agree with him on something? Put all the pressures of the law over you to oppress you, even though you've been set free in Christ. See, and there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. That's not what he's saying here. He's talking to the church. If we say to one person that you're better because you look better, because you have a bigger bank account than another person, then we're committing sin.
Amen.
All right? That's exactly what James said. We're committing sin. See, God, he is no respecter of persons. And I was looking at that, and there's several places that it says that God is no, he's not overly concerned. So if we'll turn to Romans 2, 11 through 16. I got just a couple, 12 of these. Har har. It's not going to work. Romans 2, verses 11 through 16. Well, I'm going to start in 10. I hate starting in the middle, but I've got to. Anyhow, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Look at what he tells us right here in Romans. Glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, Jews and Gentiles alike. It does not matter. God's not concerned about your heritage, whether you're black or white, tall, short, skinny, fat, rich, poor. He does not concern. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. All right? Now, listen to what he said. It's not just because you hear it, that because you're a good Hebrew and you were brought up, or a good Christian and you know all of the Ten Commandments, you know all of the law, all those things. You went to Awana. And you learn, memorize verses and all that kind of stuff. If you do not apply those in your life in a real way, it doesn't matter to God.
Amen.
It really doesn't. And he's not overly concerned about any of that. And he says, for as many have sinned without the law shall perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers. The doers shall be justified. So it's not just enough to know what the law says. It's very important to do what the law says.
Amen.
Because God doesn't care about any of the other stuff. And again, in Acts, we can flip over there real quick. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 says about the same thing. And here, Peter, he's been talking. He is going to Cornelius' house in Caesarea. And he's preaching the gospel to him. And then in verse 34 of chapter 10, and then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. See, up until then, the Holy Spirit had not come to the Gentile peoples. And the Hebrews really didn't think that the Gentiles were worthy of the Holy Spirit. Only the Hebrews were. All right? So, even remember the whole account? All right, Cornelius, an angel speaks to him and says, hey, go find Peter. He's over at Joppa in the tanner's house. And Peter three times and says, kill and eat. And Peter says, I don't want to eat the lobster. I don't know why not, but because it's unclean. I've never eaten anything unclean. And what the angel or the Lord said to Peter, anything I've created, don't Amen. You call unclean.
Amen.
Church, hold on to that. Okay? Whatever God has created, we don't call unclean. That whole, you're better than me because you have a different pigmentation of skin. That's a lie straight out of the Democrats and Satan. All right? That said in the same breath there, didn't it? Real smooth. Because it's not truth. There's no truth in that. God doesn't care about the pigmentation of your skin. He cares about the covering of the blood of Christ Jesus in your life. Are you born again? Are you following the law? Are you doing the things that God has called us to do? Living in holiness and righteousness. Again, in Galatians 3 and 28, he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all are one in Christ. So if you're born again, guess what? You're part of the family of God.
Amen.
Isn't that good enough? Isn't that good enough? It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. As long as we are born again, standing with Jesus Christ. Again, Colossians 3, 10 and 11 says it pretty much the same way. And, we'll go back a little bit because we'll go to 6. For which things is Colossians 3, 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or, I don't know what that word is.
Sophian.
Who are they? Who's a Sophian?
North Russia.
Yeah.
North of the Black Sea.
Yeah, I guess. It doesn't matter who you are, bound or free. But Christ is all in all.
Amen.
Amen. So again, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care where you're from. He loves the Russians. Praise God, because I just found out those people are Russian.
They dispersed them.
They dispersed.
I don't think
Russia was part really.
Not that hard to look up.
Or barbarian, right?
Barbarian.
So God loves Southern folks and Yankees too. And it is his love for humankind.
Yes.
And what he wants out of us is to put off some things. Anger, malice, jealousies, wrath, all those things. He's asking those who belong to Jesus Christ to put off those things.
Amen.
And to put on the new man.
Yes.
To put on Jesus Christ. To put on love. Remember to fulfill that commandment that he talked about. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, that is the greatest commandment that, I'd have to say the second greatest commandment, all right? Because the first is love the Lord your God.
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't love the Lord your God, you can't love your neighbor like you love yourself.
Yeah.
And so in all of those things, James is talking and Paul is talking, and they're telling us that the righteousness of God is not in the external, but on the internal. And he's not concerned about any of the other things. He is indeed no respecter of persons. Verse 4 of James chapter 2. Are ye not then in peril in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren, hath God not chosen the poor of this world rich, all right, in faith? And it brings me back to when I went to Kenya and preached. These people truly had nothing. They had nothing, right? And some of those, when I talked to one guy, he walked for 100 miles. 100 miles to get to that conference. And we, a place about half as big as this right here, looked like a single wide trailer, just concrete walls, window holes, no windows in them, full of men. I mean, packed in like sardines. And holding on to their Bibles and holding on to the very Word of God. And you look at America. If we don't have padded seats and air conditioning. And folks, when I say they had the plastic chairs, 120 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And all these men were wearing suits. Right? And the best that they have. And you look at America.
Yeah.
And I tell you, that we're rich, we're fat. But we don't have what they have. When my time to speak was, I told them that you don't need to be made American. America needs to be made more like Kenya.
Amen.
I think that's coming.
I think that's coming. Thank you, Biden. And so anyhow, I really believe that we have been spoiled by the riches. We've been deceived by our riches, and it's worthless before God. He doesn't care about that kind of stuff. He warned Israel about that. When you go into the promised land, you're going to have houses you didn't build, lands you didn't farm, you know, all these things, and you're going to forget me. America has forgotten God because of the blessings of God. And God said, I will take you out of the land. That's what he told Israel. Jump off my soapbox. It's happening, you know, and it's well with my soul. You know why? Because I am in Christ Jesus, right? And he is on me, right? I'm in his propitiation. And so, verse 6, and says, but ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name which you are called? And think about that. The rich people, I mean, overly the rich, proud, boastful folks, don't they hate the name of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
They blaspheme the holiness of God. But we still try to honor them. Think of how many people honor Pelosi, right? Or think of how many people honor Andrew Cuomo, all right? Murdered 5,000 elderly just last year. All right, and they still think he's, how many?
15,000.
Okay, so I missed a couple. Yeah, amen. Right, but they thought that they gave him what?
A decree.
Yeah, a decree. Well, they gave him
a reward. The Emmy.
Yeah. They gave him, ain't that for actors?
It says loads.
It really does. Yeah. It says loads about our society. It says loads about the church because the church didn't say anything. It says loads. Well, even in the last election, how many born again believers voted for somebody who was definitely going to put more children in abortion clinics?
Yeah.
I mean, and that was straight up. He said that there is no gender, that boys can play on girl athletic teams. Boys can go into girl lockers. Folks, when I was 15 years old, right, and if all I had to say is I felt like a girl today to get inside the girls' locker room, don't you think I would have said it? I mean, and my son's over there giggling. My grandson, he says, yeah, you're right. Right? Think of how wicked this is. Anybody who voted for him and calls themselves a Christian, I don't know. And I'm not here to say whether they are or they are not. That's not my job. But I said that they did not understand. They honored an idea, mm-hmm. but not what he stands for.
Right.
All right? They wanted their grandpa in the White House. And they got him.
Yeah.
What's left of him? Anyhow, and we're supposed to fulfill that royal law, and it says, love thy neighbors, you'll love yourself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. We've already went through that. And for he shall judge, verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Verse 14, what doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now that's an interesting question. Can your faith save you without works? Or isn't your faith your works is the substance of your faith?
Yeah.
Right? If you really believe God, and he's going to go in talking about Abraham here in just a minute. He said that Abraham, he obeyed God. He offered up the son. He was going to take a knife and kill his only son, the son whom he loved. And it says that God called him. Go ahead, Al.
Even the thief on the cross had works. Mm-hmm. I mean, he spoke up to the other thief and said, listen, you and I belong here.
Yeah.
He's done nothing.
Right.
Remember me. Okay? That's a type of work.
That's a speaking
of
faith.
The rest of the crowd.
Yeah. Absolutely. We deserve this, and he doesn't deserve any of this. And so what does it profit if a man says that he has faith and have not works?
How many folks that you know that call themselves Christian, right, and do not walk in Christ?
Amen.
Right? They say it with their mouth, but their heart's nowhere near the Lord.
You have to look at their lives.
Amen. You got to look at their lives. And yes. Instead of looking at their lives, I always bring this back to me, is retrospect. I need to look at my life.
That's right.
All right? Am I doing that? Because I can't change their life at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the life I can change is this one.
Amen.
And if I change this life, then other lives will be infected because of that. Affected. Okay. Not infected. COVID. No. They'll be touched. They'll be moved. They will understand what God is by the way that you love them in whatever they are, wherever they're
right.
at. He goes on and says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful for the body, what doeth it profit? Someone comes and I've heard it, I've seen it. Oh, I'll pray for you. Wait a second. You come to me hungry and I'm going to pray for you? No, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to feed you.
Yes.
Right? You come to me cold and you know what? I'm going to take one of my jackets out of my closet and I'm going to give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have small feet, I'll give you a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take small feet though. If they're big feet, I can't help you. As I have small feet. I'll give you my grandson's shoes. He's got big feet. He said, you're going to give him my shoes away. Yeah, I will. Or at least...
What size shoe do
you have? I'm 9.
I'm 10 and a half.
Oh, I thought... Yo, your brother has 13s. Yeah. He doesn't?
He has like 11.
Okay. I misunderstood him. I could have swore he said I wear 13s.
He thinks he doesn't, but he doesn't.
Oh, okay. I've never bought him shoes, so I don't know. I think Grandma bought him shoes a few times.
When I went to the bowling alley, and he got like size 12, and they're like so big on him.
That's brotherly love, don't you love it? All those family secrets are coming out.
Not a secret.
Oh, but if your brother or sister are naked and destitute of food, and you say, depart in peace, be filled and warm, notwithstanding you don't, what does that profit? I mean, did that help anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you say, I'll pray for you, and you don't do anything about it. We get the missionaries, and they say, well, we're in dire needs of this thing or the other. The first thing we do is, well, we talk about it, and we write a check. All right? And what they do with that money is really up to them. It's not up to me. We need to be obedient to the need of the moment, right?
Amen.
And so a brother and sister, they need something. We're supposed to love the brethren. I mean, our benevolence and stuff is for the brethren. I mean, don't get me wrong. We can feed those who aren't in the church, but you need to feed the church first, right? You need to take care of, like in an airline, right? They said when the air mask falls down, you got to put yours on first before you put anybody else's on. Or you might pass out and can't help them. Same thing. We need to make sure that the church is strong.
Amen.
So if the church is strong, when somebody outside the church comes and needs something, a strong church, why do you pay tithes? That I can have food in my warehouse. So
Amen.
When somebody comes in, we can meet that need. That especially in the body of Christ. You know, we need to make sure that if you have a need, we tend to it. Right? If you need hamburger meat, we give you hamburger meat. If you need clothing, well, we make a couple phone calls and go over and raid Mary's closet, and you'll have plenty of clothes.
Go over to Steve.
Steve,
get a towel.
There you go, get a towel. Amen. Amen. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. All right, faith alone without works is dead. It doesn't. Just because you say something doesn't make it happen.
No.
You know, we need to be doers of
Amen.
The word, not just hearers.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you hear and don't do, then you're just a clinging
right.
brass, right? You're just making noise. And so, in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Put your money where your mouth is, right? Amen. You say that you believe God, then walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
Because we get so twisted up Yeah. You know, I believe in God, and I want all my stuff to go with me. That's why I got a U-Haul behind my hearse. It's just a moving thing. And a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Mm-hmm. Church, how about us? We say that we believe God. Well, praise God. There is one God. And there, amen. You say you believe that. But do we really fear the Lord? I mean, reverence Him. Mm-hmm. If the angels, if the demons, when they hear the name of Jesus, they tremble. When Jesus says something to the angels, the righteous angels, the holy angels, you know how fast they move? Faster than light. They do it right then. They don't wait and say, well, I don't know what you mean. No, he says, what do you mean, God, to go and tell you? No, they bam, right there, they head off. And even if they get intercepted on the way, like Daniel, Gabriel came to talk to Daniel, but it was the first day that Daniel started praying that Gabriel came, but he was resisted by the prince of Persia, which lets you know that there's an angelic host behind the prince of Persia, because I guarantee you, the prince of Persia, the guy, could not stand against Gabriel. No human can stand against an angelic force, no matter what. And so that lets you know that in the heavenly realms, in this battle that goes on. And so Gabriel was able to come and talk to Daniel after Michael came and picked up the fight. And so here we see that you believe that there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and they tremble. Again, that honor, that reverence. Jesus said, don't just fear a man who's able to take away your life, but fear him who's able to take your life and cast your soul into hell.
Amen.
So, and I don't know if the church now, because we've come through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and better part of the 2000s, right? It's starting anyhow. And we've come into this mindset that Jesus is my friend. I have nothing to worry about. He's just this big sugar daddy, right? And I ask for it, and he just dumps it on me and all that. Oh, blessings, blessings, blessings. No trials, only blessings. And that is a teaching that's been going on in America for way too long. See, that's not the God of the Bible.
No.
Don't get me wrong. God loves you. He wants to bless you. But if we don't honor him, if we don't fear him, if our faith does not have legs, doesn't have works, if God says, go and feed, go and love, go and serve, and you say, no, God, I would rather paint my toenails today. Guys, you don't do that. Or plug my nose hairs. I don't know what it is you're doing. I got other things to do. Right? No, you don't. God tells you to do something, be like an angelic host. Get up off of whatever you're doing and go do it.
Amen.
You know, we should never be so busy when God tells us to do something, we say we don't have time.
Right.
We should never be caught up so deep in debt. Right? Say, I would love to go and do this, but I owe, so I can't go. Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody has cash money to buy houses, right? That kind of stuff. So you got to have a little debt. The Bible says that you're a slave to the lender.
That's right.
Right? And we have a generation that's growing up right now that's all about credit cards. All about credit cards. All the young kids coming out of high school want a $500,000 house. Mm-hmm. They all want two cars in the garage, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I started out in a single wide trailer, you know? And, watching cockroaches race up and down the wall, you know? Now, look, he's running. But that's where you start, you know. You start. $15 an hour. How stupid is that? For start out wages? That's because it's a job at McDonald's. You're not there to make a life out of it. You're there to learn how to go to work.
Right.
You're there to learn something and then graduate up. If you start at $7 an hour, I started at $3.50.
Mm-hmm.
My first job, that's what I started at. So some of you more senior folks probably started out at a quarter, a nickel a week, something like that. Who was it? Stu telling me he made $5 a week, a dollar a day. We're pushing cows, you know, milking cows and stuff like that when he was a kid. And so and thought he was a rich man.
Yeah.
Thought he was a rich man. He's old, though. So.
He's not here, I can say it. But anyhow, as we walk with God, we need to not just talk about our faith, we need to have words, we need to have something that backs it up. Living in the fear, the reverence of God. Knowing that God gives and God takes away.
Amen.
And understanding that it's all His. And it's all His, right? None of this belongs to us.
Amen.
He's allowed us to have it, and we're stewards of whatever He's allowed us to have. And we'll be judged on our stewardship. What did we do with what God gave us? Jesus told the parable about the talents. You know, He gave one so many talents, gave another so many talents, gave a third guy so many. Two of them invested them. He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And then there's that one fellow that He gave, and he took his talent and he hid it under a rock. And he said, "I knew that you're a harsh judge." You know, first of all, I didn't really know God.
Well, I don't know He did.
Because He is a harsh judge. You do the thing the way that you're supposed to, or there's a judgment to be paid. And so He said, "I hid it under a rock." And Jesus cast him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He called him an unfaithful servant. So our faith must have works. When God tells us to go, we must go and do it. When God tells us to give, we've got to give it. Because first, it doesn't belong to us. God gave the talents to those. The master gave them their talent. They didn't earn it. He said, "I'm going to a far country. I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to come back someday. I'm going to check up on you. What are you going to do with it?" See, they had to have faith of a couple things. That they were entrusted and that there would be a judgment day.
Yes.
I'm coming back. Church, Jesus is coming back. Amen. There's a judgment day that's going to happen. And what are we doing with what God has given us? What is our faith? What does it really look like? Is it enough just to love those who love you? Even the heathen do that, Jesus said. We need to love those who are not so lovely.
Amen.
Those ones who don't smell so nice, who maybe curse a little bit, kick a little something, you know. Paul said, "I become all things to all men that I might bring some to the knowledge of God."
Mm-hmm.
How about that, church? Are we there? Is that part of our life? Or do we shun people because they don't look what we think they ought to look like? Praise God, we're in a small congregation. We can talk about that kind of stuff, right? Because I don't think it really goes on a lot here. I mean, if it is, we're small enough, we'd know it, right? We don't have 500 people to worry about yet.
We don't care anyway.
Amen. We don't care.
I don't care what they think.
There you go. It only matters about what God thinks, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord made you such a wonderful character. God has done some stuff in you. And it's a beautiful thing. So it says in verse 20 again, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works?" Or they worked together, that's what wrought means. They worked together.
Mm-hmm.
"And by works was faith made perfect." Alright? So, it's not just... And he's going to be talking about Isaac, but I want to go back in Abraham's life a little bit further back. All right? When God told Abraham, "Get up and get out of your father's house. Get out of your land. Get out of your country. And go to a land that I'll show you." In that day and time, that was unheard of. You didn't leave your daddy's house. And in fact, your dad built an apartment. Right? So you could raise your family right there, and it stayed at that jail. And God said, "Listen, Abraham, I want to bring you to a place that you've never seen before. I want to do something in you that is absolutely different than anything you've ever experienced before, but I cannot do it where you're at. If you believe me, get up and go." And he didn't tell him a direction. He didn't say go north, south, east, or west. He said, "I will bring you there." What faith?
Mm-hmm.
How about Sarah, his wife? You know, come home, hey, sweetheart, guess what?
What, darling?
Pack up the camel, honey, we're moving.
Where to?
I don't know. We're just going. We're getting on our camel, and we're going. And she did that. She just, she followed him. She knew that he had a relationship with God. God called us to Caledonia. Started a church. When I told my wife that, she ended up, we should say, Caledonia. Caledonia. God called us to start a church in Caledonia. Let's get up and move. Let's get up and do something. And so as you do that, God honors that. But it takes faith. But it takes faith that has works. It takes a willingness to leave what you're comfortable with to go Amen. To the place that God wants you to be. See, an old thing, going through experiencing God. Something that Henry Blackaby said, you cannot stay where you are and go with God.
No.
See, God's always on the move. He's always at work. He's always moving forward. And if you stay stationary and God's moving, you're going to miss the train. So you got to go with God. You got to follow Him. You got to be close to Him. So whatever that takes, that means walking by faith and not by sight. That means doing some things that sound kind of crazy. And I love that about God, because He never asks you to do something sane. He really doesn't. Get up, go. Abraham, go kill your son. Your only son, the son whom thou lovest. And then he packed up, and it was a 3-day trip to bring him up to the place. And his son, when they got up there, now remember, don't think of him as this little 4-year-old boy.
He was
40. He would have been, if he's a picture of Christ, he'd have been in his 30s, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and Abraham was well into his elder age. So a 30-year-old man could have beat the out of that other guy, you know, because he's just young. I mean, I wouldn't want to fight a 30-year-old man right now, not without a stick, because they're just stronger and faster than I am. Anyhow, he trusted his father so much. He said, Father, here's the fire, here's the sticks, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And as he told his son that, his son still had to lay on the altar. His son still had to willingly lay down and allow his father to pull the knife out. I mean, he could outrun his dad, but he didn't. He willingly was willing to lay down and let him do that. So by faith, it took an enormous amount of faith on both of them. And then, of course, the ram was caught in the thicket by his horns, and the thorns by his horns, by his head. And that was the sacrifice that God had provided. As Abraham was about ready to draw back the knife, the angel grabbed his arm and said, do not hurt the lad. Amen. And so in that verse 22, he says, see now how faith wrought his works, and by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Wouldn't it be nice to be known as a friend of God?
Amen.
What's that take? Obedience.
Absolute surrender.
Absolute surrender. Faith is living by faith. Is believing God beyond our circumstances. Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command
right,
you.
Right.
Right? So it takes obedience. Faith without obedience is dead. Faith without works is dead, mm-hmm. as he says. And so, verse 24, see ye then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, and she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So it's not just enough to say it. And we talk about that here a lot. Does a lot of people confess Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and never convert to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We've got a lot of people wet in baptismal pools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I don't know whether they're saved or not. That's not my job. I don't know if the seed was planted and later on it'll grow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
lot of folks that have come and got, how many folks, honey, I don't know, more than I care to count.
Yeah.
And again, it's none of my business. I mean, I was obedient to what God called us to do. They confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they went into scriptural baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was good enough, because then they stopped reading their Bible, they stopped coming to church. You know? But some didn't. Some stayed. Some are still with us.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah. Okay. And so... Anyhow, next week we'll talk about the danger of tongues. Don't let many be masters, that shall receive a greater condemnation. Be careful, teachers. Be careful how you teach. Make sure when you're teaching God's word. Make sure when you're living by faith. Make sure when you're working, you're not. And again, works without faith is death also. There's a lot of people who think that their works is going to save them.
Yeah.
And they don't have faith. They say, well, you know, I helped 27 old people across the street and didn't get one of them hit by a truck. You know, look how good I am. I did this, I did that, I did the other. Again, God is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
He none of that matters if it's not done in the right heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can give, well, Paul talked, I can give my body to be burned. Well, that's 1 Corinthians 13,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
12.
Nope,
13. 13? Yeah. Though I speak with tongues of angels and have not charity, I am become a clinging brass, a sounding brass or a clinking cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits nothing. And then he talks about what love does. It suffers long. Right? Does our faith, put yourself in here, does my faith suffer long? Is my faith kind? Does it not envy? Is it not bragging?
Oh, look at what we did. Boy, you should have seen what I put in the offering box last week. Boy, that
type of thing. See, God, God does not care about any of that stuff. He's looking at the heart. Again, that poor widow and her two mites. I've heard some different things about that. What Jesus says is that she gave more. Okay? She gave more because she gave out of a heart of pure love. She just did what she thought she needed to do. And so it's not how much you do, it's the heart with what you do, right? And so faith without works, but works without faith, both of them are dead. So you can do a lot of stuff and not believe God. I'm not saying that no Shriners go into heaven, but the Shriners do a lot of work, but they're caught in this web of deception, wicked thing that they're involved in.
Amen.
You know, and I'm not trying to cast stones at nobody.
I think it's manifest, though.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's manifest.
Yeah.
That's occultism.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And as you see, I'm doing my best to be publicly correct a little bit, you know. Why?
Are you with us?
No, I'm doing my best to be publicly correct.
Politically.
It means you
got to lobotomize
yourself.
Yeah, lobotomize. I try not to offend too many people. Because I can't judge the heart of man. I can't say that everybody who's a Shriner, none of them are saved. I can't say that.
If you knew, do you know the background?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Know it's bad.
Yeah, it is. It is bad. And, I can't say every Democrat is not saved. And I know the background of the Democrat Party, and it's bad.
Mm.
All the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so, just because a lot of people are deceived into it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
They are. And so, again, it's not about the works, because they do a lot of good works. You look at the Shriners Hospital and all the babies and stuff and children and cancer and things that they help with, and they don't charge people for it. Yeah, that's good, but that isn't salvation.
No.
And Jesus said, on that day, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, right? And so there's a doing God's will.
Amen.
And so, folks, I love you. And my prayer for us is that we'll take this teaching and understand that God really doesn't, He cares about people, but He don't care about you. He don't care about your outside when I say that. Eh? He cares about you as a born-again believer in Christ.
Yes.
But He doesn't care if you're rich or you're poor. Mm-hmm. Doesn't care about the pigmentation of your skin.
No.
He cares about what you do and the heart you do it with.
Amen.
Your faith and works, right? That's what really motivates God. That's
mm-hmm.
when that's what makes Him look down and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Yeah.
It's not just doing things, but it's doing things that God has called you to in a heart of worship before Him. And so that's what the church is supposed to be.
Amen.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyhow, I love you guys. I ain't gonna say no more. Amen. Dear Father, we do love you.
Yes.
We praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise
we thank you,
Lord, thank you
for your word, Father. I pray as we look into this scripture tonight, Father, as we see what you're telling the people of God, it's how we really believe enough to do, Lord.
Yes.
I pray that you would make our hands your hands.
Yes.
Make
yes.
our feet
yes.
your feet, Father. Allow our breath to be yours and the words and the meditation of our heart always to be pleasing unto you.
Yes.
Father, we thank you and we praise you for that.
Amen.
I pray, Father, that we wouldn't be that people that are after vain glory.
Amen.
Or that we would be set apart
Amen.
For your glory. Or that that the riches of this world wouldn't deceive us, Father.
Right.
That we would be willingly poured out day after day,
yes.
year after year, for the knowledge of the Most High. And we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.